I'm going to talk about how we can use UAV to do the growth model analysis for the cotton. And before I start my presentation, I would like to acknowledge my collaborator, Dr. Juan Landivar, from A&M Aguilar Corpus Christi, and Dr. Chang and Yam from A&M Corpus Christi, and Merlo Maeda and Andrew Maeda for working with us. And what is plant growth analysis? Basically, I think I got this definition from one of the literature that I found in the manuscript. And the plant growth analysis uses simple primary data in the form of weight, areas, volumes, and contents of plant components to investigate process within and involving the whole plant. So basically, it means there are so many things we cannot measure about the plant, and there are some interesting characteristics we want to know. Then we measure some other simple primary data that might be used to infer those kind of process happening within the plant. So this is nothing new. It has been around for a long, long time. I think I just tried to do some Google search about anything related to this plant growth analysis. There is a book published in 1964. It's a plant growth and development. Another one in 1972, 1982, and 1990. And one thing that I found that very fascinating is that while I'm looking up these literatures, I found that this study done in 1879. I think I don't know even how to pronounce his name correctly, Kreutzer maybe. And what they did was they collected this mean total leaf area per plant, and on a weekly basis, and that they are doing kind of this kind of growth model, which is almost about how many years ago? Maybe 140 years ago, they've been doing it. And here, I'm doing exact same thing again. I want to do this kind of stuff using UAV. So why, I'm doing this again, even though this has been done already in like more than 100 years ago. So let me just think about how this kind of data is collected. Probably in 1976, of course they don't have a GPS at that time. They're gonna have just stick, just go plant by plant and measuring height. Or if you're talking about the leaf area, they're gonna cut the leaves, take back to the lab and place it on the kind of white plate. They measure it the area, something like that. So probably they're gonna spend a lot of time doing this kind of measurement in the field. But we're in Corpus Christi, South Texas. It's very hot and humid during the summer, and doing this kind of field work in the summer is not the best thing you want to do. So it's not easy. The point I'm trying to make here is that's not easy. By the way, this is the picture of Dr. Juan Landivar. He's collecting this kind of data set many, many years ago. And he's wearing backpack on a GPS with a stick, measuring canopy height. And more recently, what we've been doing is trying to develop high throughput phenotyping system. One of them is this ground-based system, like Dr. Xu demonstrated in the earlier presentation, and we mount sensors on a platform so that we can get much more high-resolution data collected from this kind of platform. And more recently, this UAV is kind of becoming very, very popular and famous. And the good thing about this UAV is so easy to fly, and we can get very high-resolution data out of it, and we can fly very, very often. Pretty much like whenever you want. So the topic that I want to talk about today is how we can use this UAV data to do this growth model analysis. Instead of collecting the data, you spend all the time in the field collecting the data, can you actually apply the UAV data and do the same kind of analysis? So how this UAV data collection is working is like this, like the Chang and Yang mentioned that we acquire a bunch of data images like this with significant overlap. And Dr. Chang and Yang, Dr. Yang mentioned at least 60%, and based on our experience, 60% is nowhere close enough to do a good job. And in our case, at least in 80% overlap. So the area that Dr. Yang showed before, we easily takes about 1,000 images. And it takes about 10 to 12 hours to process it. Anyway, we got a bunch of images collected, and there is an algorithm called the structure from motion, basically what it does is, you know, they overlay the, based on the overlapped images, they can do the area triangulation, and they can collect, and they can make a 3D point cloud out of it, and they make a digital surface model, and they stitch images together based on that digital surface model. So byproduct of that, you know, structure from motion is going to be orthomosaic images, basically stitched image together. Then we are going to get a digital surface model, which is the elevation of the surface. Then we're going to get the 3D point cloud out of this. So how we do the canopy height measurement? I'm just, you know, grab a figure from the internet that shows kind of help us to figure out, you know, what is happening indeed. So there is, you know, every time we do the flight, you know, what is happening is we calculate the surface elevation, which is in a blue line over here. So every time we do the flight, you're going to have, you know, elevation. I just, you know, color coded so that anything that looks red is higher elevation. Anything that looks, you know, blue is a low elevation. So we have, you know, surface elevation, as you can see, as a blue line over here. And what we do is, you know, at the beginning of the season, before we, you know, planting or, you know, right after planting, we do the, you know, the fly over the area so that we can calculate the, what is the elevation of the ground. It's, in this case, it's going to be red line over here. So basically, blue line minus red line is going to be elevation of a ground, which is this in the purple line over here. So what it does is it removes, you know, topographic impact from your, you know, height measurement. So any, you know, height measurement is going to be with respect to the ground elevation. And one other thing we also extract from this UAB data is canopy cover. This is, you know, one of the cotton plot that we acquired this year, 2016. As you can see, we have, you know, big skip in the middle. And what we do is we do the binary classification. I'm not going to go into the equation, detailed equation, but we just, you know, have sort of filters to go through. Then we can generate this kind of binary classification map. So anything that is canopy is white, anything else is, you know, blue, black. And we just simply do the ratio between white and black that will give us canopy cover calculation. Then we can generate this kind of, you know, canopy cover measurement per, you know, square meter, like this. And we also do canopy volume calculation. And how we calculate the volume, basically, if you know the volume of this object over here, you know, what you can do is, you know, chop it up in a small piece. And if you measure the, you know, volume of small or voxel and sum them up, we can calculate the volume of this. So we basically do the same thing. So we can, you know, do the binary classification. So anything that is, you know, white is canopy, and we also know what is a canopy height model from that, you know, height calculation that I demonstrated before, and simply does, you know, sum that up, you know, the voxel, you know, volume of individual pixel like this, and that will give us, you know, volume of canopy. So what we did is, you know, we applied this methodology to the one of the cotton plot that was implemented in Texas A&M Aguilar Corpus Christi Station. It has a 30 genotype from the cotton breeders, and the unique design of this, you know, experimentation is that we introduced, you know, visual checks. So basically, any pair of, you know, cotton plant will have a check that so that you can compare, you know, your performance with already known, you know, commercial variety. So for example, let's say you have, you know, one variety sitting over here right next to it, you're gonna have always 5,499. Sitting right next to it, so that we can compare those two all the time. So even though we have only 30 genotype and the 4 application, we have lots of, you know, visual checks. We ended up having 980 separate lines of this, because we have, you know, the irrigation and the non-irrigation. And we also divide it to even it to, you know, smaller grid. We end up having, like, every time we do the flight, we end up having those, you know, three measurements, canopy height, canopy volume, and canopy cover measurement. We have 9,800 of them for each flight. So how we did it is, you know, the cotton was planted in April 1st. You see? And we just, you know, do the flight on a weekly basis. So this is, you know, planted. We did a flight here, and we have 2 flights in this week. So every time we do a flight, a little dot is added to the figure. So this is, you know, data acquired in in April. In mid-season, we have, you know, a bunch of flight. You see, you know, those measurement is added. And the later season, we have more flight. Because, you know, the reason why this, you know, for example, this is, you know, canopy cover calculation that you're seeing. The reason why it is dropping is because, you know, those leaves turn, you know, senescent, and those, you know, lose the leaves. That's the reason why canopy cover, you know, drops out like this. And our goal is, can you actually fit this nonlinear model to this measurement so that we can do the growth analysis? And the question is, there can be different kind of, mathematical model. And this is the one that I presented last year, three-parameter logistic model, mostly known as a sigmoidal curve. And it works pretty well. It's very stable. But the problem that this model is, is symmetric. What I mean by symmetric is, we have growth, model over here. If you, do the first derivative, which will give you the rate, you're going to have this kind of curve. And around this axis to the left and to the right, they are same. Symmetric. So, this is not the best model to, the mathematical model to represent the canopy growth. So this year, I was, trying, doing some research on is there any, asymmetric, non-symmetric growth model, mathematical model available. So I found that there is indeed a four-parameter logistic model. It has A, B, and C, and D. Basically, A is, what is in the lower bottom over here. And the D is, what is in upper, maximum over there. And the B is, I think the growth rate. And this is, where the inflection point is going to happen or something like that. It has a meaning. And there is or even more complicated parameters, which is, five-parameter logistic model. It is pretty much the same as, four-parameter logistic model, but they added this, G power term to the, denominator here. And I also found that the four-parameter Richard model, based on that, it has four parameters, alpha, beta, and K and M. So my goal was can we actually use, these four different mathematical models to perform, growth model analysis? And I used the canopy curve measurement as an input to this growth model. And this is one of the, example, fitting that I did. X axis is day after planting, Y axis is the canopy curve, and all the blue, dot that you see is the measurement from the UAB. And the red one is the one that I'm not using because, they're sometimes too, too close to each other, so I just use one. And as soon as it starts to drop, I just, decide to not use it. So this is when I use a three-parameter sigmoidal, the logistic model. This is four-parameter Richard model and four-parameter logistic and five-parameter, logistic model. So this is, gross model. Once you, calculate the first derivative out of this, you're going to see something like this. For example, maximum rate is happening in 65 days, and the distance from here to here, which is, see peak minus D1 is 16.07, and the D2, which is location here, minus D is 16.08. This is what I meant by, symmetric. These are kind of identical to the left and to the right. But if you use, four-parameter Richard model, you can see that the vegetative growth is much faster, but, their, decaying is kind of much slower. We can model this kind of known, symmetric, pattern in this model. Pretty much the same thing over here, 15 and 18, and 13 and 19. And that their maximum, the rate date is pretty, fairly close and located to each other. There is another example here. This is the same thing, three-parameter logistic, four-parameter Richard, and four-parameter logistic, and five-parameter logistic model. If you calculate the first derivative, they're symmetric. This is pretty close, a day apart, but the reason why I picked this one is because, they're showing that, opposite. Their vegetative growth is, a little bit longer, but it drops, so fast. So, the reason why I'm showing this kind of, the example is to show that, this kind of non-symmetric growth can be, fitted with a symmetric growth model. So what I looked at is, I want to, because this is non-linear fitting, sometimes it works okay, but sometimes the computer failed to fit because it is very sensitive to the initial estimate. If you don't give it a good, initial estimate, it diverges. It diverges instead of converges. So those kind of things happen. So out of all the samples that I provided, I calculated what is the success rate for three-parameter logistic. All of them were fitted okay. For four-parameter Richard, the success rate is about 97%. Four-parameter logistic, close to 100, and five-parameter logistic was the kind of lowest success rate, which is 86% only succeeded. And we also did plotting the same fitting with based on the plot, which means they use a two-row plot. So we have two lines, which is the same variety. So if I just use those two lines, can you do better? It turns out that pretty much the same pattern, 100%, 100%, 97, which is similar, 86, and 87. So I think based on this result, I think a 4-parameter logistic, which is non-symmetric, but the success rate is pretty close to 100%, that might be a good candidate so that we can use for the photo analysis. And I don't have any kind of, you know, additional analysis in how we're going to use this, the gross model analysis, but our plan is, you know, using this non-symmetric, you know, fitting, we're going to extract, you know, different kind of parameters and use this kind of information to do the, you know, breeding selection in the later future. So here is my team, and I'd like to thank Akaki Incorporated for continued support. And I'm not sure if we have enough time for questions.
We can take one quick question. Just be quick.
How did you validate your height data?
I didn't include it over here, but Dr. Murilo Maeda had the presentation this morning. We measured the ground measured canopy height versus, you know, UAB measured canopy height, and it is fairly close to 1-to-1 line. And our R-scale value was over 90. Sorry? Here is a dilemma, because, you know, the ground measured canopy height is, you know, from, you know, few location. UAB measured canopy height is, you know, from whole row. So, you know, it depends on where you are doing a measurement. So I don't think we can just kind of, you know, 1-to-1 comparison between those two, unless, you know, those fields are pretty much homogeneous. But I think we don't have an accuracy, but we just, you know, fit like an x-axis UAV height measured, you know, UAV measured height, and y-axis, you know, field measured height, and we drew this 1-to-1 line, and it was, you know, very close to that one, and the R-square value is over 90. I think it's close to 92. So I think I can show you that, you know, figure later.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.